I've been shopping, I mean researching a lot to get ready for this conference. And I found out last night, I left the game warden at home. I didn't realize that's what I did, but I did, so it went really well. That was a blessing last night. It was so good to see and hear Mrs. Hardy again, and it was great. It has been a year since the Lord moved us to Jerome, and it's been a wonderful year. Great people out there, and the Lord's really blessed. And I want to thank Miss Robin for allowing me to come back. I'm not sure I'm thanking her for this part yet, but you do a lot for friends, right? I am thankful for her friendship, and I had to share this because it kind of shows the nice friendship, tight friendship we have. Earlier this year, I was telling her, I was like, I am so nervous. I don't think I can do this. 300 ladies, Miss Robin? I just don't think I can do it. Of course, she very sweetly said, oh, Dana, don't worry. It's actually closer to 400. You got this. I love her. But anyways, and yes, I'm still very nervous, but I'm so thankful for all the prayers. I've got texts. I got cards from you Berean ladies. I got texts from, and I know people at our church were telling me, we're praying for you. We're praying for you, Sister Dana, you know. So that makes all the difference in the world. So let's get into the lesson. I'm pretty much a visual learner. I don't know if anybody else is. I have to kind of see it, and then I can get it. You can tell me instructions or directions, but if you show me, I'm a lot more apt to get it. So I tend to use visual aids. So I texted Kristen a few weeks ago to see, for old time's sake, because I was always saying, hey, Kristen, you want to help me do this? When I was here for the 10 years. Anyway, so she agreed. I emailed it to her. And we both were laughing last night because Mrs. Grace Hardy almost totally stole this illustration when she started talking about Myrtle the talking plant. And so, anyways, I guess the Lord knew we needed to hear it again. And as moms, you can appreciate that because we just tell our kids things one time, right? And they got it. I'm like, what do you say? You know, how many times do you say that as a mom? Thank you. You know, I'm like, okay. So I'm like, all right, we're going to get it again. But this time it's Kristen the talking dress. So talking plants and talking dresses, you never know what you're going to see and hear at a ladies' conference, okay? So anyways, okay. Wow, I just love this new dress. But I'm going to have to shorten it. Why did God make me so petite?
Shorten? Why would you want to shorten me? I am perfect, just the way I am. Why would you want to change that? You'll mess up the whole pattern design I have going on.
Well, I can't wear you the length you are. I'll trip and fall.
You just pick up my hem a little bit like this when you walk. That should fix your problem. I simply refuse to change. I like things the way they are.
That will never do. How can I walk around in church on Sunday holding my dress up? How would I get around and greet people and shake hands? And how in the world would I work in the nursery or junior church?
What? You're going to wear me in the nursery and junior church? With all those sticky fingers? Are you insane? I am way too nice a dress for that. And besides, who would even see me in nursery and junior church? What were you thinking when you bought me?
Well, obviously I wasn't thinking I'd be having a conversation with my dress when I bought you at the store.
Obviously not.
But I think you're forgetting one important thing.
Yeah, and what's that?
I bought you. You belong to me. I could have left you on that clothes rack where I found you, but I didn't. And I bought you to be my very own, to alter, change, or wear as I see fit.
Well, I guess you have a point there. I suppose a few small changes wouldn't be so bad.
Thank you, Kristen. Anyways, so talking plants, talking dresses, there you go. I was studying for these lessons, and the Lord kind of gave me the idea of using acrostic, and I've done that before. It kind of helps me stay on target, and maybe sometimes I remember if it spells out something, so Kristen's going to set out my bags for me. But so this morning, we're going to focus on the word bought, and hope everybody got a handout. I do have a few extra. We tried to get one in every seat to make it a little bit smoother, hand it out ahead of time. But we're going to look at bought this morning, and in the afternoon, we're going to focus on the word price. So turn to your memory verse that we kind of went over. 1 Corinthians 6, and I'm going to go ahead and read verse 19. It kind of goes along with it, too. So. Help her out, ladies. Help her out. G before the H. G before the H. You got it. Good. All right. Let's read verses 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, I just want to come once more before you and just give the next few minutes to you and ask that you would help me to be able to say something that would be helpful to the ladies here. You know each heart, and I know that we a lot of times come to these retreats weary from just being a mom, being a wife, and trying to do it according to the Bible can just be so weary in this world we live in. And I pray you would just speak a word of encouragement to these ladies, Lord. Help them to leave relaxed, refreshed, and possibly learn something. In your name we pray. Amen. So the first, and I kind of do this too. It's kind of, I do it for two different reasons. I love doing handouts because, number one, I know I pay more attention or remember more if I write it down. And plus, everybody's not staring at me if they have to write something down in the blank. So anyways, so it's kind of a joint thing. So the first one is be, we belong to God. So, and I hope I kind of highlighted on mine what I left blank. So on your paper, so hopefully I won't skip over anything. But the first thing I focus on is belonging to God. And I know Mrs. Hardy kind of touched on that last night, and it's kind of neat how the Lord works lessons and messages and preaching together, which that's a new word. I like that. But I want you to notice in the verses, ye are not your own, that we are not our own. And a lot of times we as ladies forget that, that yes, we can do what we want, dress how we want, act how we want, say what we want, if we belong to ourselves. But we don't. Once you're saved, we belong to God. And it's not a bad thing. It's an awesome thing to belong to God. So, and the next part is, ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So every part of us belongs to God, our heart. So not the next point is not just our heart, which we know that. We think about that in salvation. We're like, yes, I gave my heart to God or asked Jesus into my heart. But also our spirit, but our body too, which entails everything. So you kind of got it covered from heart, spirit, and body, that we're all God's and we're all part of his. And just like the illustration, like she talked about the plant last night, and we used the dress, that we have been bought by God. And this afternoon we're going to focus more on the price that he did pay. And when we realize that and remember that, it makes it easier to realize, wow, we are important to him, that we bought, that he's bought us. The next letter is O, for obey God. Obey God is the next part. 1 John 5:3 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. And I like that last part. It's not like he's asking us to do the impossible. When you think of other religions and all the stuff that their religions require them to do, we live in Mormon country, and you think independent Baptists are restricted, and you know, they go and collect tithes at your house. And if you live in a ward, that's the church you go to. You don't get a choice. You know what I mean? So I mean, I'm just thankful that he, yes, the Bible's full of commandments, but they're not grievous. You know what I mean? And he doesn't demand more of us than we can do or obey. So obedience to me is like the next step. They kind of almost build on each other. But once you realize you belong to God, then obedience kind of just should follow right after that. And we should be obeying out of a heart of love and gratitude, not a set of rules I have to keep. And that's a lot of times we get imbalanced in that, that we focus on the do, and not realize, why are we doing it? We love God. Not because he's, you know, yes, they are commandments, but we should joyfully and out of a heart of love obey his commandments. And we as moms, I know a lot of you are moms, or and you expect your kids to obey what? Right away and with a good attitude. That's like been all our rules. But a lot of times we don't do that with God, do we? You know, we obey, but it's not, you know, it's grudgingly, or it's on our time, not his. But so we need to try to be as children, like we want our children to obey us. The next one is you. Undergo changes. And that's kind of where she was, Mrs. Hardy was talking last night about the pruning part. And as we remember that we belong to God and that we obey God, he's going to, as he works on us, he's going to want to prune us, like she talked about. And this is the part that scares us as women, because we like our comfort zone. We like things just the way they are. And I can speak from experience, because you talk to my husband, and I'm like, let's just do the same thing every day, every day. Why do we ever have to move? Why do we, you know? And he's like, let's do this today. Oh, let's do that, you know. So the Lord put us together. He's the free spirit, and I'm like the plotter. Why do we have to change the schedule? You know, the schedule is working fine. But life would be boring if I didn't have my free spirit husband, you know, kind of coming through, breezing through, throwing my schedule out the window, you know. But anyways, did everybody get their caramel? Okay, good. Okay, you can eat it whenever you want. But this is... I don't know, I was setting for this and thinking, because I felt like this before, and I don't know if you ministry wives have, or just even as moms, that you feel like you're Play-Doh, something like you just stretch, and I can't stretch anymore, I'm just going to break apart in the middle, you know. Lord, do you know what you're doing? I think I'm stretched beyond my limits. I've reached my limit, don't stretch me anymore. But I was thinking about caramel, how it's all neatly packaged in this nice little square, and it's sweet, and you can enjoy it. But if you melt it and, like, put it on an apple or dip apple in it, or like last month, my assistant pastor's wife, Jen Harris, anyways, from here, well, her husband is from here, we drizzled melted caramel on popcorn with chopped Ghirardelli chocolate, anyways, and gave it to our ladies. But I'm thinking, you could keep the caramel like this, but if you melt it and stretch it, how much further the sweetness goes? And a lot of times, that's what God is wanting to do with us, you know, but we're like, no. Let me stay in my life so comfy zone. And it's not just ministry-wise. It really affects every lady that's sitting in the pew, because we all have people that we're comfortable to be around. We all have a spot we like to sit, people we like to talk to in church, and new people come in, and oh, hi. But you know what I mean? You have to reach out, get out of the comfort zone, and welcome new people, and be willing to try and do new things for the Lord. Teach a class that you, if you've never, I can never teach. I can never do what you're doing. I didn't think I could either. If you had told me, like, when I got saved, this was going to be here, I'd be like, no, Lord, don't move us to Springfield. I can't do that 10 years from now, you know. But it's all how the Lord, you just have to be willing, and it's always for our good. He's never doing it to inflict pain and see us suffer. Suffering's part of it, but it's always for a good end in the thing. So this thing of caramel, so we need caramel. Think how we need to be willing to let the Lord stretch us, pull us out of the little comfy package that we like to be in, to spread the sweetness around so he can use us better. The next one is G. So we belong to God, then we should obey God and be willing to undergo changes. And next, we need to be willing to give up our rights, which kind of goes in with the undergoing changes, because as you let God work changes in your life, you're letting go of what you think you should be able to do or be. So give up rights. And a lot of times this is the reason behind our fear of undergoing changes and stepping out of our comfort zone, because we don't want to give up our personal rights. I can't do that. He shouldn't expect me to do that. Romans 12:1, which I noticed it was in our book. I didn't realize he was using this verse as well. But I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. So it's the same thing again. His commandments aren't grievous, and his the fact that he's asking us to give up our rights, it's a reasonable service. When we consider what he has done to buy us, to purchase us, he's not asking too much. And truthfully, we gave up our rights at salvation, didn't we? We're servants of God, and yes, God still gives us a free will. He loves us so much that he doesn't reach in and program us all to do and say and be his little robots at salvation. He wants us to grow and learn. He loves us enough to give us a free will to make choices. We are God's servants. So remember, we belong to him. So it should be a pleasure to serve him as our master. And servants do not have their own rights when it comes to serving their master. You know, when you have people, if you're at a restaurant and you have a waiter or waitress waiting on you, I mean, they don't, you know, you order, oh, no, I don't really feel like, that's too long order, I'm not going to take that. Or, no, don't order that, no, that's too hard to cook. You know what I'm saying? They're there to make your, well, if they're a good waiter or waitress, you know, to get you the drink you want and the meal you want just the way you ordered it, because they're serving you. And we the same way, look for ways to serve and be willing to do, you know, clean the toilets, work in the nursery, help out in junior church, the not so recognized that, you know, it's not in front of everybody, but it's to be a servant. Start at home. Sometimes, you know, yes, I'll serve at church, I'll do that church, but, oh, you're on your own at home. You know what I mean? Or else, and a lot of times the people that we love the most are the ones that we do stuff for them, but it's like, why don't you go get your own drink? Or why don't you go do the, you know what I mean? And kind of not have the best attitude, or you get more frustrated with them. And it's the people you love. It's your family. So it's a good way to show, and for your kids too. It's a good way to start, and a good way to start training them is to be servants as well. And H, and it is heart of the matter, number 5. And I made that bag bigger on purpose because although it builds all the way up to this, if we neglect the inside, because that's really where it all starts, you can make all the changes on the outside and do everything like you're supposed to on the outside. But if your heart isn't in it, or your heart doesn't change and it's not from your heart, then it's not real. You know, and it may won't last. Your attitude's not going to stick with it. Through the tough times, it's not going to make it. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And I love that verse because if you're going to protect something, protect your heart. And we've kind of thought that, you know, we've brought that verse up several times dealing with our children and raising them because it's the heart. So make sure, you know, you don't let that affect your heart. Protect what gets into their heart. It's impossible to obey God, to be willing to undergo changes, to give up our rights if God doesn't have our heart in it. And he needs to be number one. And I know this is all stuff we know, but then sometimes when it comes to everyday living, do you know what I'm saying? Oh, yes, God's number one. God's number one. Oh, baseball practice is the same time as Wednesday night church. Oh, well, we can't miss practice. Do you know what I'm saying? So it's in areas like that, and which seems like no big deal. Oh, what's it going to hurt? I mean, it's just during football season. You know what I'm saying? What's it going to hurt? But our kids see that. Do you know what I'm saying? It's little things like that. They go, oh, church is important, except when. Do you know what I'm saying? So just be really careful, because I know husbands are in charge of the home, and they make the decisions. But we as wives sway our husbands and have a lot of influence on our husbands, more than we realize. You know what I'm saying? So we need to be very careful, because we can make it easier for them to lead the home in the right way, or we can make it tougher on them. And I will never forget Mrs. Durrell speaking at one of our things. And one thing she drilled is that they drill with their families. We're all on the same team. And I've used that over and over because I'm thinking, wait, we're not fighting. We're all on the same team, guys. We are all in the same family. We are all doing this together. You know what I mean? Don't be fighting no more. The basketball team would fight amongst themselves trying to win a game. As moms, you're on the same team as your husband. And the kids need to see that. Okay, so it's just making sure. It's just little things like that that say, yes, God is number one, or no, he isn't. So just remember that and keep that. But when our heart is where it needs to be, then everything else falls into the proper place. And I don't mean life is suddenly easy and there's only sunshine and butterflies the rest of your life. You know what I mean? I don't mean that. But it's if your heart is where it needs to be, then you're not going to go, I can't obey God. I can't make that change. I can't do that. If your heart is where it needs to be, then it'll be easy to do this. It'll be easier to do that because this is where it needs to be, and it's for God. You know, I belong to him. And our focus, our focus needs to be on our heart and our relationship with him. There's a reason that your pastor or your pastor's wife is always saying, read your Bible, pray, read your Bible, pray, read your Bible, pray, because that's the only way to build a good relationship with God. I've went through days and like it started off, boom, something happened right away. And I'm tearing off through the day and like mid-afternoon, I'm like, I just feel like I'm gritting my teeth and I'm just fighting, not saying sharp words and not having, and then it hits me. I didn't have my devotions this morning. I mean, that's just one day of skipping. And we all have those days like that. But I'm like, what is wrong? You know, and then I have to kind of go back in my mind, like, why am I having such a bad attitude today? Why am I biting my kids' heads off? And not to say if you have your devotion, life is smooth, but at least you're starting off on the right foot. And you miss a day or two, you miss a week, get back at it. It's essential. It is essential. That's where our focus needs to be. And when our relationship with God is right, the other steps are easier to do, like I mentioned. We will know and we remember that we belong to God. If he has our heart, we belong, you know, and then we'll obey him as we should. And in obeying him as he makes changes in our lives, and stuff he brings into our life that we don't understand, but it's easier knowing he's got my best interest at heart, and it's easier for us to give up our rights and serve with a heart of love and joy. Okay, the last one is T, for thankful. Have I skipped over any blanks? I hope not. Okay, T for thankful. And First Corinthians, all of this should lead us to this. Like, looking back and thinking of all of these, then tea's almost a no-brainer, isn't it? Like, we need to be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God has bought us. I love the song, and I didn't know if we were going to use it, if you're going to use it in the conference or not, but it's kind of neat that, anyways, but now I belong to Jesus. As I was studying this, I just thought of this song, and the chorus says, now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, not just on this earth, but for eternity. And so we're his for eternity. There's nothing the devil or the world can do to change that. Isn't that? I mean, that's enough just to make us be thankful every day. In this world that's changing extremely fast, it's just scary when I think of life as I knew it, as, you know, like watching my kids. You know, what was life like when I was 8, 13, and now my daughter in college? But I'm trying to think about that. Anyways, but she got to drive up and be here. But I'm like, it's a totally different world. They have to deal with stuff. And I remember we had lots of conversations. Autumn would come home from work, working at Chick-fil-A, and stuff that she's dealing with. I never, you know what I mean, never had to deal with, you know, this coworker struggling with this, or everybody there's doing drugs. You know what I mean? It's this stuff that it's just like, it's everything is okay. Everybody can do whatever they want. And it's kind of sad, but the reassurance is, we have eternal security that, you know, everything else can change around us, but God and the truths of the Bible are unchanging, and that's just such a comfort. The first verse of that song says, Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. From him, no power of evil can sever. He gave his life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to him. So I'm so thankful for that. We need to be thankful in the good times, like that verse says, and in the bad times, in everything. Give thanks. It's easy when things are going good, isn't it? Like, oh, we got plenty of money in the bank. Everybody's healthy. Oh, we have visitors at church. Oh, it's good, you know. And then the next week, everything is opposite of what it was the week, but you still have to be thankful. It's just harder. And part of that is, the next point is focus on the blessings. And a preacher, we just had a preacher, Pastor was preaching at our church, and he mentioned this, and I'm like, that's so true. He said, we get so quickly we just trip right over the blessings because we're rushing to start complaining about something, that we totally just walk right over all the blessings that God has laid out because we're so quick to complain or point out what's going wrong. And he kind of mentioned this in his message, and I thought it's good. I don't know if you guys have ever seen a magician perform, or like they do this, you know, it's all these tricks of illusion, and it's not, you know, really magic. It's what they're doing is they're keeping you focused on what they're doing, this trick over here. And in the meantime, you're missing the obvious thing that's making or breaking the trick that they're doing over here. And it's called misdirection. They got you focused over here, so you totally miss. I mean, you've watched it on TV, and you're like, how can you miss that? I mean, it's like right there, you know, because they're looking at, you know what I'm saying? And we do the same thing, though. We get so focused on, oh, the stuff that's wrong, that God has sent us all these little blessings around, but we're like totally not seeing them because we're so focused on what's wrong. And we need to look for the blessings. It's not something that you come naturally. I just naturally am a thankful person. Or I'm naturally not a thankful person. We don't come that way. You know, we all are sinful. Some people are, it's easier for them to be maybe thankful or grateful. But we all have to work at it. It's not something that we just, oh, I'm saved. I'm naturally going to be thankful. No, we kind of have to work at it. And I will say it's the best way to fight depression. Because you cannot be depressed and thankful at the same time. You know, when you're depressed and you're all self-pity and pity parties, it's all inward focus. But when you're thankful, then you're starting to look out and go, wait, God did this. Oh, wait, I'm still alive. Oh, wait, I have health. You know, I have kids. I have a husband. You know, I have eternal security. You know, just look for the things to be thankful. And it's the best way to cure a critical spirit. It is. When you find yourself just like finding fault in every single thing that's going on, pause. Right, wait a second here. I'm focusing way on the wrong thing. And I went through this about 3 or 4 years ago. I just found myself always like battling, just seeing the wrong. Oh, man, I can't believe they did that. I can't believe they said that. Oh, my goodness. And just kind of, I just felt like I was developing this critical spirit, and I didn't like it. You know what I mean? You just kind of, sometimes you stop back and hear yourself, or you hear yourself in your kids. Like, they say something, and I'm like, oh, my word, that's how that sounds when I say that. You know what I mean? Have you ever had that moment? Like, ugh. So about 3 or 4 years ago, I started writing down every day 3 things I'm thankful for. And I, you know, any lady that I've talked to here at Berean, that's like, you ask them and I'll say, okay, this is what you should do. First thing, start writing down things you're thankful for, because you take your focus off yourself and it puts on, wait, God is doing good. But I started doing that and it literally has changed my life. Not that I still fight being critical. I mean, ask my family, or maybe don't. But you know what I'm saying? There's still times that I'm like, you know what I mean, kind of a thing. But it makes me pause. I usually do it in my devotions in the morning. Get done reading it, I stop right then. Because you know what it makes? And if you do it and make yourself do different things, don't get up every day and go, salvation, Bible, church, salvation. You know, no, try to do different things. But think, what did God do yesterday? You know, it's what it makes me pause and go, you know, oh, wow, he answered this prayer. Or he answered that prayer. But I would challenge you. I mean, just do it. It's just, it kind of promotes thankfulness and keep your focus on the right spot. And I would think sometimes too, if you're, you know, if you find yourself having trouble with your spouse, or you're like, your husband's like driving you crazy, or I can't believe he keeps doing the same thing over and over. You know what I mean? I found myself like, wait, he provides. You look for the stuff that he does. And then a lot of times when you're doing that, then the stuff that drives you crazy gets a lot smaller. It's not as big a deal as we ladies like it, make it to be sometimes. So focus on that. But I challenge you to do that. You know, start a blessings book. I've talked to other people, and that's what they do. They every day write down blessings. A blessings book, or in your devotions, jot down. But pause and write down three things that you're thankful for. Because we have so much to be thankful for. Thank the Lord we've been purchased. We belong to God. And then let's obey what he says. Because we belong to him. And as we obey, be willing to undergo the changes. Don't fight it. He's just trying to spread the sweetness of salvation and the Holy Spirit to others. And stretching, sometimes it involves stretching and making us go out of the spots that we are comfortable in, that he can use us better to be a witness for him. And willingly give up our rights, but make sure we're keeping our hearts close to him. Because you can go through the motions of it, but that's just death. You know what I mean? You're saved. Yes, you're on your way to heaven. But he wants us to live a victorious life and have joy. And he has to have our heart. And just thank him every day for that.